Okay, we are recording, and let's get some music. And here's our music. And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the first in a long series of teleseminars on helping you build your business. My name is John DePietro, and my special guest today is Miss Jackie Rose from the Boston, Massachusetts area. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you.
And we are going to have a good time. As soon as I press the right buttons, and we should tell our audience that this is the first time that we're trying this brand new system out, and hopefully everything will go okay. Jackie, talk. Tell us where you're from. Tell us who you are.
Well, first of all,
I struggle at the control panel.
I wanted to say that if you know, when you said to me, you know, I want to welcome Jackie Rose, and I said, thank you. I didn't say, it's nice to be here, I'm really happy to be here, thank you for inviting me. I didn't say those things. And do you want to know why I didn't say those things?
A 10-second delay? Could that have something to do with it?
Well, no, it has to do with being original. And one of the things I teach, and I know this isn't your question yet, but one of the things I teach in public speaking is, when you open, you want to be original. You don't want to say, oh, it's nice to be here, you know, thank you. Anyways, you don't want to say Oz, but you'll hear me say Oz a lot as well.
Yep.
But you want to know a little bit about me? Yes.
Yeah, tell us where you're from, what you do, and how you got to where you're going. And then, you know what, because it's always nice for our audience to know who they're listening to, because I believe today that you need to have the fruit on the tree before people should listen to you.
Absolutely you do.
Or at least the roses in the garden.
Yeah, every time you present, your audience needs to know who you are before they can listen to you or buy into what you're saying or even buy from you. And I teach public speaking. I'm a public speaking skills coach. I have been doing this for several years. I live in Massachusetts, born and raised, and I've helped over, you know, hundreds of people, maybe into the thousands at this point, but I always say hundreds because I'm still building the business. And I do one-on-one coaching, I do corporate training programs, and I do public speaking on public speaking skills. And that's what I do.
So you speak about speakers. You speak about teaching people how to speak. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
But before I ask you the question, let me welcome the new members of our audience and let them know that we're taping this, and it will be available for replay for any of the people that you want to send it to in your particular network, but we're taping it as part of a series of new programs that will be available through a brand new publication that the Telegram Gazette in Worcester, Massachusetts is putting out called DBA, Doing Business As, which is a new business publication edited by my good friend Rod Lee, where small and medium businesses, which are really the growth of they're the largest sector of growing businesses in the country right now, and everything in this magazine is going to be devoted to their success. And we feel that one of the more popular topics, because people are afraid of it, is public speaking. So I was made aware of Jackie a year or so ago and actually was a student in her class. That's why I have 100% confidence in bringing you to this conference table, if you will, Jackie. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why it's important to know how to be a good public speaker.
Thank you, John, and thank you for attending my class and for those nice words. I feel it's very important to be good at public speaking. You know, there's a PBS special done by Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. And I don't know if some of our audience viewers have seen it or not, but it's called They Go Back to School. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett Go Back to School. And they are answering questions at a university. I think it might have been the university Warren Buffett went to. I think it was in Nevada. And one girl got up and she asked the following question. She said, with all the competition and coming out of school and going right into the workplace, how can I stand out above the rest? And Warren Buffett said, whether you like it or not, you need to get really good at public speaking. And it's really important to have those skills, because it's communication, it's respect. A lot of people go to these big seminars, they see the CEO get up and speak, and the CEO, if he doesn't speak well, loses all credibility. How we present...
And then the company loses credibility as well, because the copy is probably never supposed to be better than the original. And it's funny, because I remember being at an event where a large institution had paid quite a bit of money to be sponsor of that event, and a top-level executive from that company got up and said, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, I don't like being here, so I'll only be here a short period of time. And that was the introduction. How would the people in the audience feel?
Right, right. You know, it's funny, because when people get up to present, whether they're CEOs or anybody, any type of level positions, what they don't realize is they're not there for them. They're there for their audience. And that's where the fear comes from. We get up, we think the entire audience is judging us, and we're so afraid we're going to make a fool out of ourselves. But when we say, hey, I'm here for the audience, your audience wants you to succeed. Your audience wants to hear from you. Your audience wants to learn from you. When you are in an audience, you, the viewers, the listeners today, when you're in an audience and you see a presenter, don't you want them to succeed? Don't you want to learn from them?
You want them to succeed, because you're the one who has to sit through 45 minutes of it. And isn't it nicer to sit through someone who is professional and pleasing in their delivery, as opposed to someone who's either lecturing you or boring you?
Absolutely. And that's why it's important to entertain. So many people who present today think that being stiff, serious, and boring equals professionalism. Mm. But if you think of the best presenters you've ever seen, like you, John, you're a wonderful presenter. You're entertaining. You add a lot of humor to your presentations. And that's what people love. And humor is really important, and to let loose and to show your true personality, because when you do that, your audience is going to like you. They're going to get to know you. They're going to want to listen. They're going to stay awake, alert, and alive, as I say it, as I put it. Mm.
Now, Jackie, you just said you need to be entertaining. Now, does that exclusively mean telling jokes, or are there other ways to be entertaining?
What an excellent question. You do not want to tell jokes. And a lot of people do it, but when you tell a joke, you sort of appear to be sort of amateurish, because most professional speakers, and I know that a lot of the people who present are not professional speakers, but I teach people how to present like professional speakers so they can get the most out of their presentations in business. And, okay, lost my train of thought. What was I saying, John?
Well, about telling jokes is not
thank
necessarily...
You. Okay, thank you. I do that a lot, and it's okay.
Right.
Because nobody
I've fallen off that attention span ladder many, many occasions.
Yeah, and that's why it's really great to ask your audience to help you stay on track, because it keeps them engaged and gets
you know
them
what?
Involved.
There's nothing wrong with saying to the audience, now, where was I? Right.
Okay. I say it a lot.
Yep. Or where am I?
Where are we? So jokes. So here's what happens when you tell a joke. Lots of things could happen. Number one is the audience may not laugh, and then you're embarrassed. Number two, you may offend someone. Number three, maybe your entire audience has heard it a million times before. Now, the exception to the telling the jokes rule is if you tell a joke that maybe no one has heard and is very relevant to your audience and to your subject matter. Or maybe they've heard it, but it's a good one. Like, for example, I tell a joke once. It's not really a joke. Actually, it's a funny story. And that's much more effective. You want to tell funny stories. You want to add humor. And you want them to be personal stories or stories of maybe people that your audience may know. Maybe other people in the company, but make sure you get permission to tell that story.
Yep.
Or if it's a supportive story and positive, it's okay. Or about a famous person. So a lot of people have heard the story about Jerry Seinfeld. And I once heard this from one of my students in one of my programs several years ago, and he got up and he said, public speaking is the number one fear among us today. Death is number two or three.
Yep.
Jerry Seinfeld says that means at a funeral, most people would rather be in the casket than give the eulogy.
Give the eulogy. You know,
and you always get a laugh. But
yep.
I'll tell you something. Whenever I tell that story, people get a laugh. But I don't tell that story too often anymore. And that's because I hear other people telling that story.
So you want to be original.
Exactly.
And you run the risk, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you run the risk of telling, if you tell a joke that people have heard all over again, they're going to say, well, you know, I've heard that before. They're going to lose it. They're going to lose their attention. They might start looking at the ceiling. They might start checking their BlackBerry or their, email, that type of thing. And then basically you've lost them for the rest of the event. Let's go back to that humor thing one more time. There are people that think that if it's pretty much an all male group, that they can tell a joke with sexual overtones. But please address that, because I've seen people explode that way.
Right. Well, you might be able to address that better if you've seen it firsthand, being that, you know, all-man audience. You know what? You never know who's in your audience, and you need to know who's in your audience. And if you're going to do something like that, you need to know your audience very well. If there's one person in that audience that's offended, and if that one person happens to be the CEO or one person that was ready to hire you for three other gigs, you've
yep.
just blown it. So it's a real risk, yeah. But you could maybe think about what you're saying and maybe tone it down. I think you can still be funny without being crude, if you will. So.
Well, I think everybody's listening to the call has probably seen a situation where someone has said something where they wish they hadn't, and you know, once it's out of your mouth, you can't get it back. But let's move on to another aspect of public speaking. There are people that are listening to this.
I just want to add one thing to that. I think a great model of a comedian is Bill Cosby. He's an extremely successful comedian, has made people laugh for years of all ages and all generations. He's never said a four-letter word. He's never had any sexual innuendos.
Yep.
He's always been clean. And he's probably the most famous comedian there is.
Yep.
So your next question was, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jackie, there are people that are listening to this call, you know, all over the country. And some of them may say, the last thing in the world that I want to do is be a public speaker. And you already alluded to that back before. But what are the benefits of being able to address the Rotary Club or the Kiwanis Club or the Chamber of Commerce? Aren't people going to think of you as an expert in your topic if you have some basic skills to get up and discuss something intelligently?
Yeah, that's a really great point and a great question. Absolutely. You never know when you're going to be asked to speak in public. And when you do, you better present the way you want your audience to perceive you. So even if you're not feeling very confident or you're lacking some self-esteem, it doesn't mean you have to show it. Act as if you have total confidence, because if you present with total confidence, your audience will have more confidence in what you are presenting.
Say that again, because I think that's important.
Yes. If you present with total confidence, your audience will have more confidence in what you are saying. I don't care what you say. If you don't present it with confidence, they will have no confidence in you or what you are saying.
So what you say is equally, how you say it is equally, what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're saying. Actually,
the delivery is just as important as the content, right?
Well, actually more important, because 7% of communication is words. 7% of communication is words.
That's 0-7, not 7-0, 7.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay.
Which means the remainder is 93. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I like that. That's a really good way. I like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%, because that really shows how small of a percentage our communication is when it comes to words. But most people today only present with words in business, and because they just want the words out. There's no emotion, there's no expression, there's no body language, there's no facial expressions, there's no passion, enthusiasm. Your audience will only be as excited as you appear to be when you present. So if you want your audience excited about something you're talking about, if you want them to be impressed about something, if you want them to be scared, worried, it's only emotion that causes your audience to react or to act or do what you need them to do based on emotion.
Now, the typical student, if you will, the person that you coach, describe what are some of the points that they come to you to brush up on. Obviously, they already have subject matter, and they may have some basic delivery skills, but what are your strong points, and what are the big features that people want to see today?
Great question. You know, most people who come to me get it. They know that public speaking is really important. They know that they have great content. Well, sometimes they have great content, but they know that no matter how great content they have, if they don't present it effectively, they're not going to get the results they want. And those are the companies that call me. Those are the individuals that come to me when they get that. So, for example, I have a couple of business programs I'm working on right now. And one of them, their staff will be doing more presenting coming up. And they're representing the company. And they're presenting to their clients. So they know that it's important for them to present effectively. So
and have eye contact. Because
I
think it's very important that people understand that when we say public speaking or presentation skills, it doesn't necessarily mean being behind a lectern up on a stage, but it could be being in a conference room making a pitch for a multi-million dollar package or contract. Is that right?
Absolutely. A presentation, you only need one person in your audience. Because the same skills that you learn in public speaking, you can use in one-on-one situations, group situations, small groups, large groups, it doesn't matter. It all applies.
Same technique.
And one of the things that, like you asked, what do they come for? There's two parts to a presentation. There's two things that make up a great presentation: great content and great delivery. And a lot of people who come to me, they say to me, oh, you know what? We already have our PowerPoint presentation all set. We don't need any help on the content. But when they meet with me, they begin to realize how much better that content can be.
You know, you bring
again,
up a good point
stories,
about PowerPoint.
Stories, examples. I'm sorry?
You bring up a good point on PowerPoint because I have seen people think presenters feel that the PowerPoint is the star, and they hide behind, they're presenting in a dark room, making no eye contact and no physical contact or emotional contact with the audience at all. And maybe you want to address that too much PowerPoint, again, depending upon your subject matter, can be worse than having no PowerPoint at all.
That's right. You know, the best speakers in the world that I've seen do not use PowerPoint. And that's why I do not use PowerPoint. Although I can't say I don't use it fully. There are a lot of companies now that use it and have to use it. And when I do my training programs, I use PowerPoint just to show them how to use PowerPoint. So I don't use it for my whole training program. I have one portion, the PowerPoint portion of the program, and I show them before and after slides of how they can make their slides more engaging. And I also tell them that on your slides, if you have a lot of text, most likely you do not need that slide. And somebody once said, it was another presentation skills trainer that I saw, and she said, is the slide for you or is it for them?
Mm.
And most slides today are for us. There are notes. We hide behind a lectern. We're just getting through the presentation. And the reason for this is because most people have not had public speaking skills training, so they don't know. They don't know that they can engage their audience. They don't know they can take center stage and take command of the room. And they don't. Their audience rather see them than their slides.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a very important point about the amount of copy on a PowerPoint slide. And I've always said that the biggest mistake people make is they have so much material on there that unless you're sitting in the front row, it's not visible or it's not, you know, discernible from, you know, midway in the audience or certainly in the back of the room unless you've got a microscope or a pair of binoculars. But at the same time, maybe you should take that material and break it down into 10 different slides and go through that with a little bit of little bit greater speed than try to spend 25 minutes, you know, with those pointers and those, what do they call those red things, those laser
yeah.
things, which seem to be passe now as well. But
yeah.
you know what, we've only got a short period of time left, and I do want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know what type of programs may be available. I mean, you have a website, you have a blog, you do training that's not necessarily locally based. I mean, not necessarily you having to travel, but you have, you know, some other programs as well, I understand.
Yeah, well, you know, I teach public speaking. That's what I do. And every client is different. So depending on what they need, we put together a program to fit their needs. So it all has to do with public speaking skills coaching or training or just a seminar for them or, a one-on-one individual. Everything's on my website, publicspeakingcanbefun.com or JackieRose.com, Jackie with an I, not an E. But publicspeakingcanbefun.com is an easy one to remember, and
public
everything's
speaking.
There.
Yeah.
And okay,
yeah, we had a dentist
yeah.
on last week who said root canal surgery without Novocaine is fun as well. But I think yours is a little bit more, yours is probably a little bit more believable. Yeah, he forgot to order his anesthesia, and he said, "You know what? This will only hurt for about." No, I'm only kidding.
Well, some
kidding,
people would rather go through that pain than present in public.
Well, you know, it's funny we joke about that, but I've heard people say I'd rather had to have a tooth pulled than get up in front of that audience and speak. But you know, you brought up something really early in the conversation where you said the audience does want you to succeed. I mean, they've got to put up with you. So wouldn't you rather put up with somebody who's doing a great job than in that type of thing there, but, you know, it's just absolutely amazing with the fear that people have. I've never had the fear. I mean, I got thrown out of class the first day of fifth grade, and the teacher called my mother and said I had to put him out of class because he had more to say than I did. And you know what? That was 48 years ago. I can't believe it. It was in 1960. But now I get paid for speaking. That's the crazy part of the whole thing. But any other words of wisdom? If you were to tell a person that, you know, they've got to go in next week and make a presentation and they're scared stiff, what would be the two points that you could reassure them with in the next few minutes that they're going to do a great job?
Well, number
outside one, of calling you to take your course.
Right. Well, number one is prepare. Write out your entire presentation. If nothing else, write down an outline of what you're going to say. Too many people try to wing it, and that's when they get into trouble. So know exactly what you're going to say and take command of the stage and appear confident. Start with a strong opening, because when you start strong, you'll continue strong. Have a great closing to remind your audience what you want them to remember most or to do. And go to my website for free articles, lots and lots of free articles and free information on my website and my blog.
Now, Jackie, you said... Let me ask you this. Is there any rule of thumb that you have? Say the person has to make like a 10-minute presentation. Is there any kind of rule of thumb that, because I've always heard that preparation is 90% of the deal. How much practice should they do beforehand? And, you know, the old thing about people standing in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
Do you agree with any of that stuff, or do you have a rule of thumb on...
Yeah, I never stand in front of a mirror, but some people do. And if it works for you, fine. What I do is read out loud. And if you want to have a great presentation, you need to write out your entire presentation verbatim, read it out loud over and over again as many times as you can. And I always usually say at least once a day between now and your presentation. And when you go to present, don't rely on your notes. It doesn't matter how your presentation comes out. But because you've done the preparation rehearsal, nobody knows what you wrote down, the same message will get across.
You know what I'm going to do in these next couple of minutes? I'm going to press a button here that says, if I press this button, all of our guests will be able to ask a question. And I'm going to press some buttons in about 3 seconds. If any of you have a question, go right ahead. And here we go. anyone have any particular questions with Jackie? If I hear none, then I'll presume, Jackie, that you did such a great job, but we'd be happy to answer any specific questions people might have. And hearing none, I'm going to ask you another question, Jackie. What is the biggest mistake you've seen a speaker make from the stage?
Apologizing. Coming up and saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Here's how they open. I'm sorry, you know, I haven't been able to write out my presentation, or I just flew in, and blah, blah, blah. They have all this crap, well, this stuff coming out that is very unnecessary. Who cares about, you don't want to apologize, you don't want to be, like, showing your faults, although you do still want to be self-deprecating. Yeah.
Deprecating is probably not the right word, but if you don't. But if you don't speak right, then you're defecating to your audience, probably.
defecating. right.
Yeah.
My cat does that. But, it's getting up and not starting strong with a strong opening. And that, because your audience will determine how they think of you or how they're going to listen to you within the first 30 seconds, maybe in the first 7. So have a strong opening and start with total confidence.
Well, that's great. And let me tell also to our listeners, if they have suggestions for topics on future publication use with the newspaper, but also if there's other topics that they'd like to see us discuss in a teleseminar like this, they can write to me directly at john@johndipietro. That's spelled johndipietro.com, and I will get back to them in a short period of time. And if there are other people that they think would make a great guest, we'd be more than happy to hear from them along the same way. And, Jackie, in our last minute, I just wanted to say thank you so much. We put this together on very short notice, and you're a pro, and you're prepared. And the interesting thing is you prepared and delivered the same way you tell your people. And I think that's so important in business today, to have the capability to actually do what you're teaching others to do. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, John, and you did a phenomenal job yourself.
And now I'm going to press another button that will give us some music.
All right.
And we'll segue out of this. And thank you so much. And that just died. Music died. And before we sink any further, let's say a fond farewell to our audience, and we'll see them again. And thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye-bye.